Greetings, Alpha Seekers. It's the Saturday, January 9th episode of Nugent Ventures Exciting Podcasts. So we did our first call-in interview show yesterday. And as I say, you know, I'm a team player, so always looking for guests. So if you'd like to be a guest, let me know. And that knocks off an episode. No, really, I think it's good. I actually thought that was a good, I hope I'm not a cult of one, but I thought that was a good format because keeps you kind of engaged with the podcast in a more animated way, shall we say. Because I tend to be a pretty low-key kind of guy. But when I engage in conversation, I tend to get more animated. In fact, that's kind of a caricature of me. I'm not Italian, but I talk with my hands when I get agitated. And I'm agitated easily in conversation. So anyway, a little more energy, I thought, than usual. Today, however, it's just me. So kind of a lazy afternoon, Saturday afternoon, watching playoff football. And today, the agenda is very simple, which is to go through the last 24 hours on the exciting Nugent Ventures LinkedIn page. Yeah, my role model in narrowcasting here is kind of Buzz Killman. Buzz Killman used to do the news for Jonathan Brandmeier and also Steve Dahl back in the glory days of WLUP. And very low-key guy, you know. He would, when he had calls, when he did call-ins, he would always just go, "Hello, listener." So he didn't have to remember the listener's name. So, but I still remember Vern from Vermont. It's kind of a memorable name. So anyway, we thank Vern for his time and interest. And now we get on with the meat of the matter, which is a review of our posts. So last post I put up was finding a job won't be easy for months, according to an economist. And I actually found two jobs last week. So one is a sort of a 1099, well, they're both 1099 types of gigs. One is with a company called Landco, which is includes MyJack, which is a big industrial crane, overhead crane type of company, big manufacturing company out on the southeast side. So I start with them next week. As sort of a content marketer, more or less freelance type of thing. And very grateful to my friend Steve Bears for making that connection and to Tom Lanigan for making the hire. So hopefully that'll be a long-term thing. You never know. Could be short, could be long, but it's a good development for the kid here. And also, starting next week, I'll be working on a 1099 basis with an outfit called the Lloyd Agency, which is a group insurance company, and basically just interviewing people or talking to people who are interested in their, like, employee benefit types of things. They work with unions, like the Teamsters, I guess. So that should be interesting. But, hey, I come from a long line of truck drivers on the Healy side. So my grandfather and my uncles were all Teamsters. So you might not be able to tell based on my monologues here. But, yeah, so not alien territory to me whatsoever. And they specialize in the transportation industry, which is booming because, you know, there's an article in the Trib or in Cranes about Michigan Avenue. You know, they just closed the Gap and they're closing Macy's at Water Tower. As we move forward, I think you're going to have more and more delivery of things and less actual bricks and mortar retail shopping because people have gotten used to it and it's, you know, there's no particular security or safety issues. And it's just more efficient to have somebody bring you stuff. Tiffany just set an e-commerce record, so people will even buy Tiffany jewelry sight unseen, just looking at it on the web. So You know, it's actually a better way to do business when you get down to it, as long as you've got trusted sources. And the pandemic just accelerated that move. And so there's going to be a big demand for delivery people. So a lot of people who at one time might have worked in a retail store standing around waiting for customers, instead they're going to be out there driving delivery vans, delivering packages. And that's fine. You know, it's a living. And all those folks need various kinds of insurances, and that's where Lloyd is, the Lloyd Agency, which I never heard of until like 2 weeks ago. But so those are the two things that I got going for me. Plus, of course, my Nugent Ventures enterprises. So, you know, don't think I'll be neglecting that, because I have a partner, and, you know, I have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, folks. So anyway, I think that it's interesting that, you know, you can go for a long time having trouble getting work, and then all of a sudden, when it rains, it pours. So, could be the new year, or just coincidence. But really, in both of these cases, I got it through word of mouth, people who knew me, you know. And that's, if you're applying for jobs online, not that any of you probably are, but if you are, that's a tough way to find a job. If you happen to know somebody who knows somebody who's looking or looking for people, that's almost every job I've ever gotten. My first job I got out of a want ad. My second job I got from a placement service at Loyola. My third job and everything really after that has been a word of mouth thing, including these last couple. So, well, census I just applied online. So, anyway, it's interesting. I've had a lot more jobs than I expected to, I'll tell you that. I thought that last MMS job was the last job, but you know what's going on. So, I put out a couple of other links here today. This ARC Innovations, Kathy Wood. This is a sort of a cautionary tale about not chasing the hot funds, because only less than 20% of funds that are in the top 10% or whatever are in any given year remain there the next year. Because if you're long gold, for example, and gold has a great year, chances that gold's going to have another great year aren't all that great. So it's a don't go chasing type of an admonition. And I think that's valid. Although with her, you know, like, you never know when the music's going to stop on these momentum trades. And she's basically a momentum trade. I mean, her thesis is that the disruptive companies are just going to keep on growing like weeds, like Tesla and Amazon and all that. And I don't know that she's wrong. I don't know that she's right, but I don't know that she's wrong. And if she is wrong, I don't know if she's wrong to be long now, you know? I mean, you can be wrong in the long run, but right, the old Keynesian thing, you know, the market can stay irrational longer than I can stay solvent. And who knows? You know, I mean, maybe Tesla is the future of transportation and batteries and everything else. I don't know. And I wouldn't claim to. So then there's another post from The Economist, why the crazy upward march in stock prices might just continue. And let me see if I can briefly, well, I have to log in to get into this, but there's a lot of reasons why the stock market increase might continue. You get easy money, which pushes you into hard assets, among other things. And this article goes into it. If you're not an Economist subscriber, you probably won't be able to see it. Even I can't see it when I click on this particular link, unfortunately. But I put it out there anyway, and maybe if I get motivated, I may go and do summaries of some of this gated content for you. Here's a couple of things I heard from a treasured friend who actually helped me get one of these jobs. He said, live your life from the inside out. Know who you are and don't let anybody else tell you that. And that's so true. Because he, like another friend of mine, just doesn't let all this stuff in the press get to him, you know? All this stuff that may or may not apply to you as an individual. So don't let people pigeonhole you and stereotype you. You know who you are. So just tune all that out, is my advice. And his. And then he said, and I agree with this, politics conform to the bell-shaped curve normal distribution. Those of you who are STEM folks or business people will know that it's the bell curve, or grading on the curve, you know. If you went to school, they used to do that. The deviates are found two standard deviations from the mean. And I think that's true of politics. The people on the very fringe extremes, that's not who you are, you know what I mean? And I think we saw in the past week some really amazing things. You know, the guy with the bear skin and the horns, I guess he got arrested. You know, these people are out there. So I put another thing out there. I don't know if this is redundant, but there's a chart that shows where the jobs are and a couple of surprising bars on the old bar chart here. Let's see if I can blow this up so I can read it. Professional and business services has picked up jobs. Retail trade, that surprised me. Construction. I just talked to my realtor. He says you can't hire contractors now. They're so busy redoing houses. So that's interesting. Transportation and warehousing, which I just mentioned, that it's a good industry to start working in. Manufacturing is actually up. That is kind of counterintuitive, if you will. Let's see what else. It's kind of hard to read these things this way. Healthcare, that doesn't surprise me. Wholesale trade, and then you get to the basically, you know, zeros. And the ones that are down, the biggest down is no surprise, which is leisure and hospitality. Government's actually down a little, which is surprising. So, you know, the big losses, like 498,000 jobs, 1 month net change negative in leisure and hospitality. And this is only 1 month. Whereas professional and business and services, 161 to the good. Retail trade, 120 to the good. And then it gets down to mid double digit thousands, construction and transportation, all that. But if you didn't have the devastating loss of leisure and hospitality, you would probably be, let's see if we add all those up, 162, 63, 60, 460. Yeah, you'd probably be about even, basically, without any significant loss. So that's huge, okay? And that will come back, I think. Leisure and hospitality, like restaurants and stuff, it may not ever come back to where it was, but I think it'll come back pretty strong after we get the vaccination process done. Now, the other notable thing on that score is that the Biden administration has announced that it's going to change the Trump policy. The Trump policy in terms of the dual doses was to reserve the second dose rather than give everybody one and then hope that you have enough to give them the second one. Well, Biden, and this is something that Fauci doesn't agree with, by the way, but Biden says, the Biden people say they're going to release everything for an initial dose and then worry about the second dose later. So the downside of that trade-off is you may end up with people who get one dose and can't get the second one. And I don't know how the data is being handled here. I mean, one argument for this Medicare for All thing is the data. You know, when you don't have a socialized quote-unquote system, you don't have a system at all, really. So who knows who got the first dose and who knows who's due for the second one? Whereas if you did have, one of the benefits of a centralized like M4A system would be that you'd have one database and you could easily, much more easily administer that. We all know data is gold. It's the new oil. So the data part of that really is something that you need to put a number on in terms of the value. Now, there are people who, you know, have the Big Brother privacy thing, and they don't want the government to know about their health care. But I can tell you, now that I'm on Medicare, it's fine. I mean, and actually, the government, quote unquote, doesn't have it. The Blue Cross Blue Shield folks have it. But I believe that that is a centralized database. So even though it's administered by the Blues. So I don't know. Maybe the government does have it. I take that. I reel that back in. But, you know, it allows you to do things on a public health basis a lot more efficiently and effectively when you have one consolidated database. So that has to be figured. Let's see. Novavax is coming out with a vaccine, and it's a two-dose vaccine. And, I mean, they're not coming out with it. They're in trials still in the U.S. The results from the U.K. trial are on tap. This is another two-dose vaccine. And I'm not sure about the temperature situation in terms of whether it has to be kept at absolute zero or whatever it is. But it's kind of a me-too vaccine. And the trials haven't been, from what I understand, it's like 60-some percent effective, which I think is where the Astra vaccine is. So comparatively to the Moderna and to the BioNTech vaccines, not so good. So I think that is not necessarily a no-brainer in terms of a bullish bet. So there's an options position called a strangle. If I was going to do anything with it, which I don't know that we are, but if I was going to do anything, I would probably do what's called a strangle, which is you buy a put out of the money and you buy a call out of the money. And, you know, you're maybe 10 or 15 points away from the strike on both of those trades. So what happens is that trade makes money if the stock goes dramatically up or dramatically down. If it stays in between those two strikes, you lose your premium. So I think if something happens, when it gets adjudicated, when it gets decided at the FDA, I think it's either going to go through the roof or through the floor. So I would think that would be the position you would want to take if you took anything at all. The problem with those positions is, you know, you have to pick the timing. And if it's way out, which it probably is if they're just starting trials, then you got to hold those positions. So you either have to pay the time value if you have it out till April or whatever, or you have to roll it over every month, and that costs you premium too. So I don't know that we're going to do that trade. I know my partner hates what they call gamma, which is the rate of time decay. But, you know, if I was going to take a position, that'd be it. So just trying to educate you a little bit about the ways you can use options depending on what your view is. I put something out there about a company called Sarepta, which I'm not intimately familiar with, but I am familiar with Baird, which is a big financial company. They run a lot of money for a lot of rich people. And the price target of this stock was cut in half by Baird. They had a gene therapy setback. So how do you play that? Well, nobody knows where it goes from here, but if a stock drops by that much, the cost to insure it goes way up. People buy puts, and they pay through the nose to protect their position if they either can't get out of it or they don't want to get out of it. So if you were to sell a put spread there, you're probably going to get paid pretty well for it. And if the stock tends to creep back up, as people find, you know, they read the tea leaves of the research, the trial data, then maybe get away with that trade. If it continues to deteriorate, then you get burned on it. So again, that's a good time to sell protection is when everybody needs it, right? Because then you get paid a lot more for your insurance premium than you would if the trial results weren't in or if they were good. So I'm not necessarily making a recommendation there, but I think it's worth us taking a look at. So have to meet with my partner about that. And then a day ago, I don't think I mentioned this. This is where I started. So there's a Stock Market Insights column on Seeking Alpha Catalyst. So it mentions a whole bunch of different stocks. And JP Morgan has their healthcare conference next week. So you've got a lot of biotechs presenting there. So that may be a catalyst for stocks to move. As I mentioned in our tale of woe about Moderna and BioNTech, we're starting to pay a lot closer attention to these quiet period expirations and share lockup expirations. So they recount some of those. Let's see. There's an ICR conference. I don't know what that is. Let's see if I can figure it out. I don't even know what companies these are. Let's see, anything else worth mentioning? You know, a lot of these are tech and such. Morgan Stanley's having an Auto 2.0 conference. A lot of people are talking up GM. They just changed their logo. And usually, when a company changes its logo, that's a death rattle, you know? Because, when I was at AMA, they changed their logo. And it's like, really? You think that's going to change anything? And it didn't. But I usually think that's the sign of a company that's in trouble. But although we just changed our logo, well, maybe we're a company in trouble. I don't know. But we changed the name of the company, so you got to change the logo. Intel is sick. Not good. What else do we got here? I don't know if there's anything else worth. Fubo supposedly is a company that has an IPO expiration, so the float is going to triple, which means the number of outstanding shares. And with stocks, Kramer was talking about this the other day, you know, the stocks behave like anything else in terms of supply and demand. The more supply there is, the more likely it is the price is going to go down. So, you know, if masks are a dime a dozen, then, you know, before you had any masks for COVID, people pay anything. Now you can get them anywhere. So price goes down. So that's just basic economics. ARK Invest is holding a monthly webinar. I don't know how you get on that, but that's certainly one I'd like to be on. And talks about the famous, now famous, Kathy Wood, who is an overnight sensation who's been working on it for 7 years. And this is her moment in the spotlight. And she was heavy in Tesla. And her managed ETF, ARKK, was up 170% last year. Here's another IPO expiration, lockup expiration on ALX Oncology Holdings, ALXO symbol. That'll probably drop. You never know, but that's the normal reaction. Exact Sciences, EXAS, is reporting or doing a presentation at that JP Morgan conference. So these are all possible catalysts. But this thing goes on and on and on. So I'm not going to recount everything here, but you may want to take a look at that. And that is not gated content, so you can see it all. I think maybe you have to register, but you don't have to pay any money. So, that's about it for today. Tomorrow's a Bears game. So if it gets ugly, I may be on during the Bears game. Because I do have to watch. You know, it's like a Catholic has to go to church, although I don't. Bear fan has to watch no matter how ugly it is. Although I did turn off a game the other day because it was the Pack game was just too hard to watch. It's like watching animal cruelty or something. So anyway, that's it for today. Live long, prosper, stay safe, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Tomorrow, of course, is also Tribune Day. I read the paper so you don't have to. Something to look forward to. So that's it for today. Signing off here. Bye-bye.